Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy. Welcome to episode 40, and welcome to our 40th episode. Bonnie and I remain committed to offering the international osteopathic community our insights and wisdom regarding the great profession called osteopathy. We look forward to offering you at least 40 more episodes in the years to come.
Yeah, hear, hear.
In this episode, Bonnie will be offering a guided experience for you to cultivate awareness of your own breath. These exercises will lead you to develop a more deeply felt experience of self-defacilitation with prolonged exhalation, as well as sensing the effects of prolonged inhalation on your attention. After you've practiced and experienced the effects of her guided expirations, you can apply this skill to yourself, either before or during the treatment of your patients. And if you find benefit in this approach to breath awareness, please feel free to use what you've learned here in the rest of your life. This episode is the third part of a series that started with episode 38, Osteopathic Pathophysiology, the Osteopathic Facilitated Segment Theory, where we discussed the facilitated segment theory and proposed an expansion of this theory as a whole body-mind function and called it the global facilitation theory. We proposed that hyperadrenergic states of hyperfacilitation can and do alter the structure and function of our patients, especially during these difficult cultural times. In episode 39, Zen and the Art of Osteopathy, I presented how breath awareness of the osteopath by way of well-timed prolonged inhalation and prolonged exhalation can refine our attention and purpose during a treatment. These phenomena affect both us and our patients, and thus this episode will offer you some ways of becoming aware and caring for yourself, not just your patients. These three episodes also link with episode 34, that was then, this is now, how patient care has changed with shifts in our culture, and episode 37, that was then, this is now, a deeper dive. In this episode, we discussed the cultural changes that have led us to needing ways to defacilitate ourselves and our patients. If you look at our 40 current posted episodes of Osteopathy Unplugged, you'll see that what we offer is linked holistically. Just as osteopathy as a healthcare profession is holistic, so is our podcast. Bonnie will be guiding you through the two breathing practices discussed in Zen and the Art of Osteopathy, as well as a few other helpful practices, so you can have a direct felt experience and then be able to carry this skill into your clinical practice. Okay, Bon, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Steve. By the way, I just want you to know that as I'm beginning, I just did a prolonged exhalation in preparation.
Well done.
Thank you. Before we dive into the specifics of prolonged inhalation and exhalation, I'd like to remind you of the value of our breath, its vast influence on us, in our biological lives, in our personal inner lives, and professionally as osteopaths. In episode 39, we introduced you to a little-known quote from A.T. Still. He said, "The first step in osteopathy is a belief in your own body." Beginning as a 12-year-old boy with chronic headaches, Dr. Still looked to his own body for answers for his medical problems. He was quite an out-of-the-ordinary 12-year-old, I would say. As he relates in the autobiography of Andrew T. Still, he saw an old rope that had been used as a plow line in his father's field slung from a tree, and he had an idea. He arranged the rope over a low tree branch, placed a towel over it, and laid down on his back with his upper neck and head suspended over the padded rope. He had a sense that if he decompressed his neck from the base of his skull, that he might feel some relief. To his surprise, following this self-exploration, his headache eased. He was able to reproduce this effect whenever he developed a headache, and later in his life, he postulated that it had normalized cerebral arterial blood flow, venous drainage, and the function of the upper cervical nerves. This was his first documented memory of an embodied sense of the relationship between structure and function. His early curiosity eventually led him to explore his body's responses to the laws of the natural world. Given the space and freedom to move, there was a normalization of function.
I love this story, and I'd like to offer a brief clarification. Some people have stated that this recollection was the first osteopathic treatment. That's just not true. Retrospectively, Dr. Still recounted this incident and used it as a starting point for his curiosity regarding his body and how it functioned and dysfunctioned, and more importantly, how paying attention to one's own body can create self-care opportunities. To me, this story demonstrates wonder and inquisitiveness. We document what Dr. Still considered the first osteopathic treatment in episode 6. You might want to go back and listen if you missed it.
Yeah, it's a great story and quite surprising for some people to learn.
Yeah, actually, I think that every osteopath needs to go back to this first osteopathic treatment that we outlined, which happened in 1874, because it forms part of our cultural ethos. And it's a symbolic representation, really, of the start of his journey to then create what we now call osteopathy.
Right.
But back to our guided experience episode. Right.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. William Sutherland followed in Dr. Still's footsteps, and he had his version of believing in one's own body. Dr. Sutherland looked to his own embodied felt sense to create the cranial concept. He self-experimented by donning a homemade helmet made of two baseball catcher's mitts strapped together. He added a series of belts and pads strategically anatomically placed to restrict his own cranial motion. To prove to himself through experience that the cranium did indeed move, he aimed to do the opposite, to restrict movement and see what the consequences might be. The inhibition of cranial movement caused several problems, culminating in one experimental session where he lost consciousness. Luckily, his wife Ada found him in time, removed the helmet, and brought him back to life. He proved to himself by his own experience that the cranium requires freedom of movement. Today, we're going to look to our breath as the territory of self-exploration. Just as Dr. Still and Sutherland did, with curiosity about our own body, let's see what we discover by awakening our inquiring senses. And then, let's apply what we learn to the clinical context of treating our patients. I have a few more comments about the importance of breathing. We'll get to the exercises in just a minute. Many people think that breathing is mostly about carbon dioxide and oxygen exchange, but breathing is also involved in movement throughout the entire body, not just the lungs, ribs, and diaphragm. Breathing influences a wide range of biochemical actions at the cellular level. Breathing affects our mood, attention, appetite, sleep, and so much more. This episode will be looking specifically at the effects of your breathing on your autonomic nervous system and attention. Just one of the multitudes of things we can influence with our breath as we do either prolonged inhalation or prolonged exhalation. I want to make a distinction between control, regulation, and influence over our breath. It's important because we're about to influence a process that is ultimately regulated by the autonomic nervous system. I like to think of the way the autonomics control our breath as a form of survival-based regulatory function. I reserve the words control to describe the use of will. This variety of control, the use of will, is the unilateral ability to make something happen, often relying on presumed authority or power that may or may not be real. I prefer the word regulation for what the autonomic-based function of breathing is. We don't control our breath. Just try to make yourself stop breathing. You can't. Your autonomic nervous system will override your will and your attempts to dominate and stimulate your breathing to start again involuntarily. Influence with awareness, in contrast, is the ability to affect something through being in relationship with it. We can have influence over our breath, especially if we're aware of it and in relationship to it. Our breath is maintained by our autonomic nervous system, and as part of our survival mechanism, there's a limit to the input we have over this process. Having an awareness of the process gives us the most potential influence. In the last episode, number 39, Zen and the Art of Osteopathy, Steve talked about the neurophysiology of how and why prolonging one phase of the breath or the other creates the influence that it does. This episode is about having a felt sense, an experience of these phenomena. My intention for this episode is twofold. First, to teach you some basic approaches to breath awareness. These are exercises and not breathing techniques to do as part of your daily life. I'll say more about that when I get to them. My second intention is to give you a felt experience of prolonged inhalation and prolonged exhalation specifically, and then suggest how to integrate these practices into your daily routine while seeing patients. Let's start by putting down your notebooks and pens. Remove your hands and your gaze from your computer or your phone. There's nothing you need to write down or look at. The episode you've been listening to just faded out because you are not yet a subscriber to Osteopathy Unplugged. Please visit patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged and become a subscriber in order to have full access to the rest of this episode as well as the complete collection.
We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy. However, the full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged.
And thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.